This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Following that, Jonathan Sundet will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise.
Let us pray. Author and ruler of all justice, raise up public servants who will fashion and shape laws that will not only check brutality, but will also encourage people to live in peace. Keep us from enacting laws that are marred by prejudice, favoritism, or inequality. Restrain us from acting hastily or reacting in vengeance. Give us the ability to work for what is necessary to keep the peace, and let us exercise care, lest our laws become impossible burdens upon the citizenry. Enable us to foster legislation that provides government with strength and power tempered by justice. Inspire us with the wisdom to write and enact laws that will guarantee safety, protection, and integrity. Cause us to encourage goodwill among the people, that all citizens of this great state may grow in their appreciation of justice. Use the efforts of this body and those who interpret them for the accomplishment of what is pleasing to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson, Bartles, Barthel, Beal, Bordeaux, Borglum, Bruner, Chafee, Chase, Schwach, Dennert, Deutsch, Diedrich, Duba, Duval, Fink, Fremuller, Glanzer, Goodwin, Gosch, Greenfield, Lana, Gross, Hammack, Hansen, Healy, Howard, Hunhoff, Jensen, Kevin, Johns, Johnson, Chris, Johnson, David, Carr, Koth, Blake, Latterell, Lesmeister, Livermont, Marty, McCleary, Mills, Milstead, Miskimmons, Mullally, Olson, Otten, Herman, Perry, Peterson Kant, Peterson Sue, Pishke Post, Pouye, Quam, Randolph, Rasmussen, Reed, Reimer, Ring, Rounds, Saba, Shanefish, Smith, Jamie, St. John, Steele, Sullivan, Weiss, Wheezy, Willardson, York, Zickman, Speaker Haugard.
Present.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Thank you. Representative Rounds. Anytime you're ready, Representative Rounds. Yes.
Personal privilege, if
granted.
I may. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I don't know if anybody else in the body had planned to do this today, but tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m., we are going to be treated to a very good breakfast here in over at Drifters at 6:30 a.m. And our host for tomorrow morning's breakfast are sitting up in the gallery across from me today. And there looks to be about 20, and these are the officers of the state FFA, South Dakota FFA members. And I'd ask you to please stand up and welcome them here and then greet them tomorrow morning at breakfast.
Welcome. Thank you. Representative Reed.
Personal privilege?
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today is Brookings SDSU Day at the Capitol, and we have several people from Brookings that have joined us. Also, that's happening since it is Brookings SDSU Day, read into the Senate Journal today was a commemoration, and it's been 10 years of Division I sports. It's been 10 years since they got started in Division I sports, and we had a commemoration. Now, I'm not going to read you the whole commemoration, you know, how long they can be. I'm not going to talk about how the women's Jackrabbit basketball team has participated in the NCAA National Tournament 8 out of the 10 past years.
What else are you not going to read?
I'm not going to talk about that the men's Jackrabbit basketball team has participated in the national tournament 5 out of the past 10 years.
Yeah, you don't need to talk about that.
And now, and also, just one more thing, Mr. Speaker, that I'm not going to talk about, is the Jackrabbit football team has participated in the NCAA football championship tournament 8 out of the past 10 years. So they've had a lot of success, including that Seth Gross became the first Jackrabbit to win a Division I national title when he won the 133-pound division at the NCAA wrestling tournament. That was a great accomplishment, and he's a fine young man. I knew the representative from Custer would like that one. Now, actually, there is one whereas that I am going to read. And that is, whereas Jackrabbit student athletes have excelled in the classroom, combining for a cumulative grade point average of 3.0 or higher for 21 consecutive semesters, and have been honored as academic All-Americans 39 times in the last decade. So very successful in athletics, but also absolutely successful student athletes. So we're celebrating 10 years. With us today, first of all, everybody's invited to the reception tonight that's at the Discovery Center, and it's from 5:30 to 7 p.m. And with us, I think they're up above the speaker, are many officials from the county, Brookings County, the city of Brookings, chamber officials. There's also a fine group of Leadership Brookings students that are coming through to learn about government. And we also have several from SDSU, I think including President Dunn. I don't know if he's in here right now, if he would stand up. There's President Dunn. And then also the mayor of Brookings, Keith Corbett. So I'd ask you all to please welcome all of the Brookings officials and SDSU officials today.
Anything else you don't want to talk about?
No, actually, this is one thing we should talk about. I haven't seen him here, but we also have former Senator Larry Tiedemann is with the
yes,
group here.
Yes, he's up there also.
So if he would stand.
Let's welcome President Dunn and Mayor. Thank you very much for that introduction. Moving on to order business number 3, approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 6th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Stephen G. Haugard, Chair.
That second was by Speaker Pro Tem Gosh. That motion having been made and seconded, all those is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. Order business number 5, reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Commerce and Energy respectfully reports that House Bills 1034 and 1035 do pass, and House Bills 1032 and 1036 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully, Tim Rounds, Chair.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit herewith Senate Bills number 13 and 26, which have passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Kay Johnson, Secretary.
Motions and resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 2 to provide for legislative task forces to study, report, and develop and consider recommendations and proposed legislation regarding sustainable improvements to the continuum of mental health services available in the state.
Thank you. Senate Concurrent Resolution number 2, having been read for the second time, and Representative Otten has moved that the Senate concurrent resolution as found on page 14 of the Senate Journal be concurred in. Any discussion on that motion? And that motion having been seconded, Seconded by Representative Gosch. Discussion on the motion. Representative Otten.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and fellow members. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2 comes to us today as a product of the Access to Mental Health Services Interim Study from last year. First, I'd like to mention who some of those House members were and thank them for serving last year. We put in a lot of time into that. We had myself, Representative Dietrich, Representative Haugard, Representative Howard, Hunoff, Jensen, Johns, Reed, and former Representative and now Senator Representative Wismer. So last year, we held meetings throughout the year. We actually met in Pierre three different times, went to Sioux Falls, went to Yankton, toured behavioral health systems, human services centers down in Yankton, did a mock scenario with telehealth, heard from law enforcement, hospital therapists, mental health boards, 211, community support centers. We put a lot of time into this. We heard from a lot of people, and we heard from the public on this. At your desk, you'll have a handout, and I'm just going to kind of run through the handout a little bit. On the first page, you'll see a inverted pyramid, and it starts at the top with the steps of treatment. We found these steps occurring in this order is the best way to go. We start with prevention, early intervention, crisis supports, outpatient mental health services, specialized outpatient mental health services, specialized mental health with housing and residential work, day treatment and inpatient psychological care. On the second and third page, it just breaks out a little bit of those. So if you take your color-coordinated aspect, or just use the words, you can follow through on the right-hand side of the bar and see some of the things that are, this is just a synopsis that is thrown in here quick of maybe who we heard from or what some of the recommendations were that needs to be going forward with this. So we get to the last page. The last page shows the cost of what the Senate Concurrent Resolution is going to do. Because within the Senate Concurrent Resolution, we have the recommendation to set up 5 task force for next year with 5 members each. If you go to the last page, the cost for those 5, and this is a total, is $95,667. Not a lot of money to carry forward the work that we started and need to continue to do and continue to look into to help those who need help. So the 5 task force that we have identified that should continue and have further study and research to bring more recommendations forward, as you will find in SCR number 2, we start at line 14. Redefined acute mental health hospitals in the areas of short, intermediate, long-term placement with emphasis on keeping individuals needing placement in community whenever possible. Second one, reduce the overall use of acute mental health hospitalizations by developing and supporting existing alternatives where appropriate, create community-based short-stay alternatives, and develop day treatment options. Third one, leverage telehealth and telemedicine to the full appropriate extent. We focus on the areas of acute assessment, crisis supports, along with mental health assessments and counseling. And we actually did a mock telehealth session, and I'll tell you, that thing is something that we need to keep looking at and bring forward, because that could do wonders for the small communities outside of Rapid City and Sioux Falls with the big health centers at, to really help those individuals. Fourth one, redefine human service center nursing home administration criteria and build mental health nursing home capacity for persons with organic brain damage. And then the fifth one is to increase the capacity for traditional housing, transitional housing, and residential services in communities to keep individuals closer to home and develop caregiver support. After these task force would meet, they have to give a report to the legislature no later than December 31st. So that is what the ask is. I will let some members of the committee speak up and give a little bit with that, and if you have any questions, I'll be feel free to ask, and I shall answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further remarks? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did serve on this task force, and the task ahead of us this summer and into this fall was overwhelmingly difficult to grasp every aspect of what this committee was asked to look at. We met a lot. We had long days. We were there 8-9 hours some days. Some people testified for 5 hours in a row about their departments and some of the things that they were bringing forward. It really very difficult for this committee in that period of time to come up with any real recommendations because the scope is so broad of the things that we're looking at. I am in support of the five committees for next year. If we don't do these committees, this committee ended up basically with no recommendation other than moving forward with the five committees. And I look at these five committees, and honestly, each one of these committees is going to have its handful because just the area of redefining short, intermediate, and long-term mental health care is going to be difficult in itself, let alone the other areas. I would strongly urge you to support moving forward with this. This is not going to be something we fix in a year or two. Hopefully, the recommendations will be coming out by the end of next year from these appointed committees, and we may have some resolution in the following year. We may be able to come up with some things that we can do in the upcoming year to start alleviating some of this access issues. So, again, I urge you to vote green.
Thank you for the remarks. Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also served on the committee over the summer, and when you stepped into it, I think we've all heard about the community, you know, our issues with mental health in our communities. And you go in thinking, oh, well, we can attack this. And as has been spoke before, we realized the problem was so much broader than we thought it was, and so many different areas that needed to be affected. And I think this chart really shows it. And the whole goal of it with this chart was we don't want people to fall down to that bottom, the red. And that's where it's expensive, and that's where there's really a lot of problems with healthcare. So we did a lot of good work figuring out the different areas that we need to work on to make sure that as many people as possible don't fall into that, down into the bottom of this graphic. But we did not have time to be able to actually get into the specifics of what we can do. So I please ask you to support this resolution and continue the work that the interim committee started. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Reed. Any further remarks? Representative Diedrich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the House. I, too, served on that task force. And we all know we have a behavioral and mental health crisis in South Dakota. And we know that we need to address that. We need to generate more access at better outcomes at lower costs. And we know that working on the front end of the preventative and initial care will prevent the acute and chronic illness from occurring, or at least it'll reduce that. I agree with the comments made by my colleagues, although I do take a different view of those five things. I mean, the area of access in improving outcomes and reducing costs to the state is very big. But our committee identified these five areas, the five areas in the resolution, that if we work on those with a task force, which includes providers and people with experience and perhaps even some patients in that process, we can identify and make proposals to make innovations or collaborations or elimination of duplications that we can make a difference in the next year with the work product from these committees. And so we distilled it to those five areas that we can make an impact in. There's a lot more beyond that as well, but these are the areas where we can improve access and can help a lot of people with their outcomes, help them heal better and faster, and also reduce the end cost to the state. So I'd urge your support of this resolution.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Hearing nothing further, the question before the body is the motion by Representative Auden that we concur in Senate Concurrent Resolution number 2, that if you're in support of concurrence, you'll vote aye. If you're opposed, vote nay. The concurrent resolution is to provide for legislative task forces to study, report, and develop and consider recommendations and proposed legislation regarding sustainable improvements to the continuum of mental health services available in the state. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk unlocks the voting machine, and the members will proceed to vote. Representative Mills. Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's an honor this afternoon to have the high school senior class from Sioux Valley High School in Volga here. They're scattered around. I might ask them all to stand up so we can see where they are. I saw them on both sides. They're here with their government instructor, Mr. Jordan Fast. And I was especially proud to announce to this body that Mr. Fast is ahead of the curve. He gave his seniors the citizenship test at the beginning of their coursework this year, and they will take it again at the end. So thank you for being ahead of the curve on that. As we know, that's a new initiative from our governor, and I'm proud of Sioux Valley that you're doing that. So please help me welcome them.
Thank you.
Representatives Gosch, Johns, and Mullally. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 64, nays 4, excused 2.
The motion having received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect, the motion is declared passed and Senate Concurrent Resolution 2 concurred in. Are there any questions in regard to the title? The title is deemed correct.
Representative Qualm moves that when we adjourn today, we adjourn to convene at 1 p.m. on Thursday, January 17th, 2019, the 8th legislative day.
That motion having been made and seconded, any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. Order of business number 10, first reading of House bills.
House Bill 1054, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the possession of firearms on certain vehicles.
House Bill 1054 is first read, and it is assigned to State Affairs. Is the doctor of the day here, Dr. Tad Jacobs? Is Dr. Jacobs here? All right. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 13, an act to revise certain provisions regarding authorization for public transportation assistance grants. And Senate Bill 26, an act to clarify certain provisions regarding the regulation of limiting gaming in Deadwood, South Dakota.
Speaker assigns Senate Bill 13 to Transportation and Senate Bill 26 to State Affairs. Second reading of consent calendar items.
House Bill 1014, an act to repeal certain provisions regarding payments of the tax imposed on financial institutions and banks. House Bill 1015, an act to revise certain references to the Internal Revenue Code, and House Bill 1018, an act to transfer the collection of various fees from the Department of Revenue to the Department of Environment and Natural Resources.
Items on the consent calendar report out of committee with no dissenting votes or opposition and are not subject to debate. However, if there are questions, they may be asked of the sponsors. Are there any questions in regard to the consent calendar items? Hearing none, and have the consent calendar bills having had their second reading up for consideration, final passage. Seeing no questions before the body, the question is House final passage of the bills on the consent calendar. Those in favor will vote yay. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members will proceed to vote.
Representative Anderson votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 69, excused 1.
Those bills having received a majority vote of the members elect are hereby declared passed. Are there any questions regarding the titles? Seeing none, the titles are deemed correct. Order of business number 13.
Second reading of House Bill, House Bill number 1009, an act to revise certain provisions regarding state employment.
House Bill 1009, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Lake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, before you today is House Bill 1009. This bill is simply a cleanup bill coming from the Department of Labor, and it pertains to the provisions regarding state employment. So the cleanup language references chapters 36C through 36F. Of the codified law. Now, although this bill doesn't change anything in the law and it truly is just a cleanup bill, it is 28 pages long, so it probably does deserve just a little bit of explanation. The bill does pretty much three things. The first thing it does, it clears up some of the definitions of terms in 36C-1. And as an example, the former language was what an eligible employee is, and it changes that to a plan eligible employee, and that just differentiates the difference between a full-time and a part-time employee. The second thing that it does, it takes the terms that are defined in 36C-1 and it uniformly applies them across the three chapters that it puts in there. And once again, just as a form of an example, the Bureau of Human Resources is referenced in the chapters. Sometimes it's referred to as the Bureau, sometimes it's referred to as a Bureau of Human Resources, sometimes it's just Human Resources. So it just sets it across and defines what Bureau means as being the Bureau of Human Resources and puts in Bureau in there all the way through all those chapters. So it's just clarification. And the final thing that it does, it adds clarification language to bring this chapter into consistency with other parts of codified law. Once again, an example, just give you a quick example of it. There'll probably be other cleanup language in other parts of it. Some parts of our law say that a work day is a work day. Other parts say it is 8 hours. And any place in our codified law where they say a five-day work week, it's just assumed to mean 40 hours. This cleans it up in these chapters anyways and says that if it's a two-day work week, it's 16 hours. If it's a 40-hour work week, or a five-day work week, it's a 40-hour work week instead, and cleans up the language. So with that, I encourage your support for House Bill 1009.
Thank you. Any further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the body is final passage of House Bill 1009. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members will proceed to vote.
Anderson votes aye. Dennard votes aye. Fink votes aye. Representative Otten votes aye. Representatives McCleary and York. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 69, excused 1.
House Bill 1009, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions regarding the title? The title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1001, an act to revise the timing of the recalculation of the allocations for the disability levels in the state aid to special education formula.
House Bill 1001, having had its second readings up for consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Bartles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have an amendment at the desk, and it's been circulated. It's 1001CB, and I'd like to move it at this time.
Thank you. That motion having been made and seconded, go ahead and speak to both the bill and the amendment at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for that courtesy. This bill is a result of a summer study that addressed the Extraordinary Cost Fund for Special Education, and I would like to thank the members of that committee, first of all. Representative Mary Duvall served as chair. Senator Jim Boland served as vice chair. Other members were Senator Ryan Maher, Jeff Monroe, Renald Nezeba, and Jordan Youngberg. Representatives Dan Eilers, myself, Lana Greenfield, Tom Holmes, Elizabeth May, Kyle Shanefish, and Jamie Smith served on the committee. We met several times, and we took testimony from all parts of the states and all different sized schools, the Department of Education, to address the issue of the Extraordinary Cost Fund. There is a handout on your desk that came from Representative Duvall, which summarized the activities in one page of the summer study, but a little bit of explanation would probably help. The Extraordinary Cost Fund is a fund that was created by the legislature to pay shortfalls in special education costs for school districts. It's set up in the law currently that we annually appropriate $4 million into that fund. And in the past, there has been times when that fund had more than $4 million in it, because if it wasn't expended, it was carried over to the next fiscal year. It's a fund that carries forward. It does not revert. Carries forward. Well, this last year, and I believe the year before, there was more applications than there was money in the Extraordinary Cost Fund. So our goal was to address what was causing the increase in the Extraordinary Cost Fund utilization. Well, I think the heart of it is probably laid out in our summer study report, that the school population is growing at about 5% a year, total population, but the special ed population in our schools are growing at 15%. That's the need for the special ed growth. In order to access the Extraordinary Cost Fund, a school has to be assessing the maximum mill levy that we allow by law for special ed, and their fund balance has to be less than 10% of expenditures at June 30 on the fiscal year end. And there's a growing number of schools that are meeting that 10% cost factor. 10% fund factor. And some of them are very large schools that are going to near that in the next year or two. So we think the draw on this fund will be extremely high, as some larger schools and what I call magnet special ed schools, where parents like to take their special ed students will start drawing on the Extraordinary Cost Fund. So we looked at ways to help the Extraordinary Cost Fund. And in the summary, there's four different things we did. And this is one of the four bills. We've already processed a resolution that was on the list. The this bill deals with reimbursement for special ed. Reimbursement is done on a triennial basis, is how the Department of Ed term is a term they use. And what they use is a three-year average, and they do this in the fourth year. The next time this will be done is in 2020, and they will use the 17, 18, and 19 average costs for special ed education. There's 15 different categories of special ed students, and under the law, those 15 different categories are grouped into five categories, and we compute the average cost of those five categories, student by student, on that three-year average, and then we reimburse it the following year. So in 2020, it will be calculated again using 17, 18, and 19, calculated in 2020, and it will go in the budget in FY 2021. And I could argue that's an every four-year deal, but it does work out over time. That happens every 3 years. It sounds like every fourth year, but it's every 3 years it actually happens. This bill is an effort to modify that so that we do the three-year average every 2 years. What we're trying to do is level out that every 3 year creates big spikes in the reimbursement rate, and what we wanted to do was lower the spikes, get them a little money earlier, and hopefully prevent some schools from becoming eligible for the extraordinary cost fund. There is an extensive fiscal note that came with this that actually shows, because of math, if you leave everything constant in the growth, which we all know won't happen, the numbers will keep accelerating, unfortunately, it appears to us, and we will grow faster and costs will grow faster. But if everything is held level for 12 years, it all works out in the end that we're spending the exact same amount of money. And there is a little rounding error. It's pointed out in the last sentence, but I'm sure that's a rounding error, and I've had some mathematicians look at it, and some other members have actually looked at the spreadsheet, and we think that 0.14% is a rounding error in the worksheet. So I would hope you'd vote for this. This is an effort to level out funding, take the spikes out of it. There's a great graph in the fiscal note that shows for 2 years we pay a little extra. For 1 year we pay a little less because we got rid of that big spike. And over the 12-year cycle, if everything stays the same, we're paying the same amount of money, but we're paying it a little earlier. And we think this will be a good deal and help schools maintain balances which they can work with. As to the amendment, when we had the hearing in the Education Committee, Bureau of Finance and Management didn't like the language in the current law on the recalculation point. So they brought an amendment to us, and if you looked at the engrossed bill from the Education Committee, it's a sentence at the end that they added. And in that sentence, they created a term called the Special Education Reimbursement Rates. Well, that was a new term that our appropriators couldn't find anywhere in the statute, didn't have a definition of what it was, and they said there's other words that should have been used. So the amendment I am suggesting is to replace the last sentence and to use the term the recalculated rates, which is elsewhere in the statute. So I would hope that you would first vote positive on the amendment and then vote positive on the bill to provide the money a little bit faster to maintain the integrity of the extraordinary cost fund. And I will stand by for questions.
All right, thank you very much. And for clarification, that amendment is 1001CB, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, you've moved that, it's been seconded. Is there any further discussion on the motion to amend? Hearing none. All those in favor will say aye. In regard to the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. 1001 is amended. Any further remarks in regard to 1001, House Bill 1001? Representative Mills.
Sponsor.
Go ahead and ask your question.
I believe I heard you say that in your study, you discovered that there's been a 5% growth in student population and a 15% growth in the special ed population. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, that is. It's in the summer study report.
follow up, sir?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I apologize for not having read the report yet. Maybe the answer to this next question is in there. Was the committee able to identify the reasons for that disparity?
Representative?
I don't think we actually ever did put a finger on that. We did have some testimony on the identification. There was questions, and I think some of the members of the committee really followed up on, are we just putting more and more students into it? And the answer was from the schools and from the department is that more and more students are qualifying. It's not the fact that we've lowered our standards or anything to get into special ed. The schools that testified said the last thing they do is put extra students in it. It's the workload, the staffing constraints. It's not a place that they're padding with people.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further remarks? Hearing nothing further, the question before the body is final passage of House Bill 1001 as amended. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machines, and the members proceed to vote. Representative Johnson.
Mr. Speaker, personal privilege?
Granted.
Thank you. If you all look over here to my left, we have some people here from Deadwood and the Deadwood Historic Preservation Commission, including Calamity Jane and Wild Bill Hickok. Would you please welcome them?
We'll need to see some ID.
Not yet.
Representatives Mills, Sue Peterson, St. John, and Steele.
Is Dr. Jacobs in the chamber right now? Dr. Jacobs? He's not here, but I want to thank Dr. Jacobs for being the doctor of the day. It's Tad Jacobs, part of the South Dakota State Medical Association. Dr. Jacobs is chief medical officer of the Vera Medical Group, received his degree from the Des Moines University, and is board certified in family medicine. He's been practicing physician in South Dakota for 36 years. Dr. Jacobs is a member of the South Dakota State Medical Association, American Medical Association, and the American Osteopathic Association. His passions lie in bringing quality care for all South Dakota communities. He lives with his wife, Kathy, on their farm north of Flandreau, where they enjoy playing with their six children. And also, it was brought to my attention, I'm not sure I have the note here, but Representative Gross mentioned that each year Dr. Jacobs sponsors an opportunity for kids with disabilities to come out and take part in activities, and he goes the extra mile to make things very enjoyable for those kids and those people with disabilities. So thank you very much to Dr. Jacobs.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there was yea 69 and excused 1.
House Bill 1001, having received majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions in regard to the title? Title is, and that's as amendment. Title is deemed correct.
Representative Quam moves that the House do now recess for the joint memorial service.
Is there a second? That motion having been made and seconded, any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.